A great number of people understand the love of God. We understand because the scripture teaches us that God loves us to the point that he sent Jesus to die on our behalf. We truly understand how much God loves us. Now, we might not be able to describe and see how wide and deep, like Paul says. We don't know how deep it is, how wide, but all we know is that he loves us. We have no doubt about God's love. When it gets tricky is, how do we show God that we love him? I mean, the Bible says God demonstrated his love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So God showed us his love by giving us Jesus. But how do we show God that we love him? People might think maybe by giving God gifts or offering. You know, Jesus said the only way that you and I can show God that we love him is how? He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So Jesus is saying the only way that you and I can show God that we truly love him is when we are obedient to his teachings, to his instructions. In other words, when we disobey his instructions, we're not loving God, according to what the Bible teaches. Now, my friends, you and I cannot love God whichever way we please. You and I cannot serve God, worship God, whichever way you desire. You have to do it in accordance to what he already prescribed in his word. So to love him, you have to do according exactly to what he already says. Otherwise, perhaps you think you're loving him and you're not. We might not serve him, worship him, love him according to our own desires, but according to what he already established. Now, there was a man in the Bible, a king. He thought that he can go around and accomplish God's mission in his own terms, according to his own standard. And then he found out the hard way. Perhaps, I know Ms. Judy Wilson has been reading Samuel. She already probably read this story that I'm going to be talking to you about today. In 1 Samuel chapter 15. I do not know what chapter that will be in your Bibles, but find it. And we're going to spend some time in the whole chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 15. That's at the beginning of your Bible. So you have it. If not, then just get it in your devices right there too. Saul was the first king of Israel. And God sent him on a mission, and we're going to find out what happened to him, because he thought that he can accomplish God's mission in his own ways, as he pleased. And that's what I want to understand, that to accomplish God's mission, to love God and to worship God, you have to do it according to what God says, not according to my perception or your perception, but according exactly to what the Lord says. In 1 Samuel 15, anybody who's been going through Sunday school, perhaps they went through that story already. And they know that the first king of Israel was Saul. So in 1 Samuel, if you have it, say amen. Amen. All right, so we're there together. First Samuel 15, I'm reading the NIV, verses 1 through following. It says, Samuel was a prophet and also a judge. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim. 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with a sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and camel and cattle and fat calves and lambs. Everything that was good, these they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, Why then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Stop! Samuel said to Saul, Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to the Lord, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord, your God, at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. Sad story for the king of Israel, Saul. God sent this king on a mission. First verses of chapter 15 tells you, the mission was to destroy the Amalekites. And I know that many of you were already thinking like, wow, that's really harsh. God told them to wipe out everything that belongs to the Amalekites. Women, men, children, infants, cattle, everything about them. And you wonder, why would God do such a thing? Why would God just want to annihilate a nation like this? But he says right there, you go back to a text, it says, when God commissioned Saul to go, he said, go. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. God is going to pay back the Amalekites. Israelites, they passed the Jordan, the Red Sea. They already went into the wilderness. And this nation, the Amalekites, set an ambush on Israel. Israel was going through, they were thirsty. There was a time they didn't have any water. And now they had to fight this army that came. So God wasn't very happy at that time. And so you go to Exodus. In Exodus, let me look it up for you right here. Exodus 17:14. This is the context of when the Amalekites came and attacked Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 17:14, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. God was so ticked, so mad at the Amalekites because they came and waylaid Israel, and now it was payback time. But did you know that it took 400 years? God let those people live for 400 years. And now that we have a king, Saul, God sent this king to punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel. God doesn't forget. You see, people, like, they were doing things to the nation of Israel, and God already, yes, he will let you live for a while, but eventually, God is the God of justice. He told Moses, watch him, I'm going to pay him back. And now he's sending Saul, his king, to be that mission, to destroy completely the Amalekites. Because of what they did to Israel. You know how it was in those days. You did something to the nation of Israel. That was God's children. Then you placing yourself under God's judgment. Because God will fight for Israel. For his nation. So Saul is just God's instrument to accomplish that mission. To destroy completely the Amalekites. Like I said, God allowed them to live for 400 years. From the time of the Exodus to King Saul, there are 400 years. And now God says it's time to fulfill that mission. Go completely annihilate, destroy those wicked people because of what they did to my people. So Saul was, that was the mission that God gave him. So he went. Now this is Saul's strategy. You see, God did not tell Saul, this is go on a mission and this is how you are to do it. So Saul had freedom to strategize and decide how am I going to go about to fulfill God's mission. So Saul did, he summoned 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Judah was the capital of Israel. So he warned the Kenites, that's another people that you hear. There's a lot of Ites people, Jebusites, Canaanites, Hittites, Amalekites, Kenites. The Kenites, he says, that they show kindness to Israel. You show kindness to Israel, then eventually God's going to bless them. So King Saul told them, you know what? The Amalekites are going to be dead. You guys get out from where they are. If you don't get out, you're going to be killed too. So he warned the Amalekites, the Kenites, because they show kindness. That's what the text says in verse 6. They show kindness to Israel, and God now is going to repay him by freeing them from the agony. So Saul warned them. They got out. That was a strategy. And then, look at what happens to the victory, verses 7 through following. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way to Havilah, to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all the people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. Keep that in mind. Everything that was good, they were unwilling to destroy completely. So he defeated the Amalekites, but captured their king. He spared the flock, the plunder, the sheep, the cattle, and lambs. Everything that was good, they were unwilling to destroy. You see what's happening here now? What did God tell them to do? Destroy everything. But they saved because there was some good sheep and you know, some cattle. Let's save that. So they saved what was good. He said anything that was weak, they totally destroyed. Then here comes God's word to Saul. Verse 10 through following. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I am grieved that I have made Saul king over my people Israel, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel the prophet, he was troubled and cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, and he was told that Saul had gone to Mount Carmel to celebrate the victory, because it truly was a victory. He set up a monument for himself. Look what I have created! Look what I have done! I mean, he was the king of Israel. And he made a monument for himself, again, remembering that the victory that you got, it wasn't really yours. God gave you that victory. So he set up, the prophet comes looking for him, and Saul went over there to Gilgal. He set up a monument to celebrate the victory. Now, my friends, just hear me out here. This is dangerous territory. When God is grieved and you're happy. When God is grieved and you're celebrating out there. Look at the text. He was grieved that he made King Saul. And what Saul's doing? He's celebrating the victory. There's something wrong with that picture. Just saying. He was grieved. The Lord was grieved that he made, you know, Saul king, and Saul is celebrating because, you know, he got the victory. They defeated the Amalekites. When Samuel reached them, Saul greeted Samuel, said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instruction." He's still believing in his own heart that he did what God told him to do. He truly believed that he fulfilled God's mission. He says, but Samuel said, What is then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord, your God, but we totally destroyed the best. Samuel informed Saul that he failed the mission of the Lord. You did not accomplish God's mission, he said. And Saul still argued that he did. You see, my friend, Saul did not want to take responsibility for his actions. Look what he said in verse 15. The soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. My friends, if you ever being in the army, soldiers don't do anything unless the commanding officer tell them to do. So who was the king here? Saul. If the soldiers bring things because they want to, you could have told them not to because the Lord told you. So you see, Samuel confronted Saul and he said, like, well, the soldiers brought the best. And now the reason that he gives you sounds like a great reason so that you can sacrifice those things to the Lord, so that we can have a worship for God. Sounds like a legitimate reason, doesn't it? You don't have to follow God's instruction, right? As long as you offer the best gift to him. You don't really have to follow God's word as long as you give him the best service and the best worship, right? Wrong. You still have to follow God's instruction. Like I said, sounds like a legitimate reason because they wanted to bring the animals. Remember, God always established sacrifices. Then they will bring sacrifices to God as an act of worship. But in this case, God gave you an order and you took matters into your own hands. You neglected the word of the Lord. That's why God was grieved, because Saul did his own thing. This is like, let me just bring it to you. This is like robbing a bank. This is like robbing a bank and putting all the money on the offering plate. Do you think God was going to be pleased with that money? Because how you went about doing it, God already told you not to rob. So, but you know, I'm just giving the money all for the church, for all the charity. Yeah, the church is going to benefit, but God's not happy with you. So he went and did not fulfill God's mission. He brought everything so that he can worship God. It's almost like, you know, I can disobey God, so I can't worship him. And there are people that they think they can bribe God. There are people that they think they can manipulate God in worship. Like, well, if I do that, if I never miss a Sunday in church, God's going to bless me. No, you better be in church because he tells you that. But the blessing doesn't depend on what you're doing for God. He blesses you no matter what. He expects you to obey him. Like I said, this king, Saul, that was his demise. He did not want to take responsibility for his actions. He was blaming somebody else. The soldiers did it, but you are the king. And I love what the interaction with Samuel and Saul. Verse 16, that word. You don't see a lot of verses that start with stop. And you can look it up in any Hebrew, in this case, any version, that word stop. It's almost like you're giving me a stop. You're saying that the soldiers did it because they wanted to offer the best. And that's true. You wanted to offer the best. But isn't that amazing that even the best in this case, God will reject it because you already disobeyed. When you offer God the best in disobedience, that's what the Bible calls vain worship, by the way. You can give God the best gift. You can sing to God the best song. But if you are in disobedience, he's not listening. Are you hearing me? He's not listening to you because you are in disobedience. He wants obedience more than sacrifices, more than what you and I can offer him. That was the mistake that King Saul did. Samuel said, stop. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me. Verse 15. Stop, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me. And it's interesting because Saul still wants to hear. Yeah, please tell me. He still thinks, he's still believing that he did what the Lord told him to do. In his heart. Like many people in their heart, they think they're worshiping God, and they probably not. Because if we're still living in disobedience, we're still just picking and choosing what to obey from the Lord, we're not obeying him. Loving God means to obey what he has commanded. So interesting, Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said to me. And he said, please tell me. Like you want to really hear what the Lord said. And then Samuel said to him, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. And he sent you on a mission saying, this is the mission again, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? Now check this out. But I did obey the Lord. Isn't that amazing? He's still arguing with the prophets that he obeyed the Lord. When you see the mission that he accomplished was not what the Lord told him to do. You see, there's God's accountability on Saul. I chose you to be the leader of Israel. I sent you on a mission to completely do that, but you didn't do it. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and bring it back their king even? And Saul said, I did obey the Lord. When, yes, he did go on the mission, by the way. When he said, I did obey the Lord, I went on a mission, that's true. But did you accomplish that mission the way God wanted you to accomplish? No. I did go on a mission, he said, that the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. Yes, you completely destroyed most of the people, but you brought back their king. God said all of them, and you brought back the plunder. And again, he says the soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice to the Lord your God. I don't know if you pay attention to that, to the whole chapter. Check it out. Saul never says to sacrifice to the Lord our God. Do you notice he always said to Saul, your God? To sacrifice to the Lord your God. You notice that? The soldiers did it. God's instructions were very specific to destroy every, even all the animals. So Saul disobeyed God. And here comes the text, I mean the verse really, that should always be in the back of our memories. When Samuel said, verse 22, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the sin of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Obedience is better than sacrifice, my friends. And to listen to God's instruction is better than the fat of rams. Now, mind you, remember, those sacrifices were acts of worship. But he said, if you're going to bring, you're going to offer sacrifices to me without obedience, I don't want them. Samuel said to Saul, obedience is better than the fat of rams and the sacrifices you can bring to God. Obedience to God, listening to his instruction, is better than anything that you and I can possibly give to God. Obedience to God, listening to his instruction, is better, far better than anything you and I can offer God. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're offering God as an act of worship, but if you're not obeying his command, his words, he's not going to receive it. Then you'll be rejected by him. The sacrifices and burnt offerings were offered to God in worship. But even when they came and offered the sacrifices to God, they had to do it according to God's prescription, according to his standard. There was two sons of a priest that died because they thought they can offer God sacrifices whichever way they wanted. They never came out of the altar. The sons of Aaron, if you know the story, they went and the Bible says that they offered God an unauthorized fire. And they did, right, Joel? They did not come out of that worship service. Because you cannot just worship God whichever way you want. You had to do it according to his standard. Obedience is better than sacrifices, my friends. Even when they offered sacrifices, they had to make sure that it was in accordance to God's instructions. Obedience to God is better than anything that you and I can offer him. Giving God your best, giving God your best gift in disobedience counts for nothing. Because he will not receive it. This is what the Bible calls as vain worship. God said, they honor me with their sounds, with their songs, but their hearts is far from me. So in vain, they worship me, the Lord says. My friends, sometimes your best intentions don't align with God's instruction and mission, and therefore not pleasing to God. Saul had a good intention. The intention was to bring those animals and offer them to God. I mean, that's great. But the thing was that sometimes our best intention would not align with God's purpose and mission. And when that does not align, then you had to let it go and adopt God's mission to fulfill, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than whatever it is that you think you're going to give God. All he wants from you and I is to obey. That's what Samuel said to Saul. Does the Lord delight on burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as you obey the voice of the Lord? That's what his delight is, that we obey his commands, his voice. My friend, partial obedience is disobedience. You obey partially just some things. That's still disobedience, by the way. Saul, he obeyed partially, but that the Lord said, you disobey the command of the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that those who reject God's word are rejected by God. When you reject God's instruction, what happens is God rejects you. Remember what? Let me just read that again, just in case you may. Look at what Samuel told Saul. But Samuel said to him, "I will not go back with you. You have rejected," verse 26. "You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king." To reject God's instruction is to ask God to reject you. You understand what I'm saying? To reject God's instruction is to be rejected by God. And let me give you one New Testament passage. John 3:16 says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God already made his plan. God's not changing his mind. He doesn't change his mind like you and I do sometimes. God is infinite. So God doesn't have plan B. So God's plan for the world is Jesus. But what happens to those who believe in Jesus? They're received by God. What happened to those who don't believe in Jesus? Verse 18 says, that those who reject him stand condemned already. He that believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already. And you keep on reading, it says, because he has rejected God's offer. When you reject God's word, his offer, you're in a sense rejected by God. You see, God's not sending people to hell. They go themselves because they don't want to align themselves with God's plan. Saul was rejected by God because he neglected his command. You reject God's instruction, then you are rejected by God. To reject God's word is desire to be rejected by him. My friends, one of the greatest things about King Saul is finally he admitted his fault. Samuel was debating back and forth with him, and finally, you know, verse 24, then Saul, 23, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry." Saul was guilty of both. He rebelled against God, and he was still arrogant that he did not want to admit that he did not fulfill the mission of God. Arguing with the prophet, when he told him, "No, you did not do it." He said, "Yes, I did." Samuel said, "Yeah, you are guilty of those sin, rebellion, and arrogance." Interesting, they're likened to the sin. One is likened to the sin of divination. The word there is witchcraft, which God says that is an abomination. And then arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Idolatry, having other gods before God, the first commandment. And then so. And then Saul said to Samuel, finally, verse 24, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's commands and your instructions." And why did I violate the Lord's command? "Because I was afraid of the people," he said. "I was afraid of the people. I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to him, "I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king." As Samuel, let me just read a little. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe and he tore. Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and will give it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. He is the glory of Israel. He who is the glory of Israel does not lie or change his mind, for he's not a man. And he should change his mind." Saul replied, "I have sinned. But please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God." So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, Bring me Agag, the king of the Amalekites." Agag came to him confidently, thinking, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel said, "As your sword has made women childless, so will your mother be childless among women." And Samuel put Agag to death before the Lord that day. Man, that's like a movie you're listening to. Then Samuel left for Ramah, but Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Until the day Samuel died, he did not go back to see Saul again. Through Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord was grieved that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul finally repented. He admitted his wrongdoing. He asked for forgiveness. And when you ask for forgiveness, God forgive you. But my friends, you and I need to understand this about God. When you reject his instructions, Rebellion against God has severe consequences. He will forgive you, but now you won't be the king. See, he's forgiven. He went and worshiped God, but he will not be the king of Israel because you violated the Lord's command. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you'll be put back to the same. I mean, it's going to take time. He was forgiven, but he will not be given the same authority that he had as king. He won't be the king of Israel. A rebellion, my friends, against God has severe consequences. We're still dealing with that from chapter 3 in Genesis because of the rebellion of mankind. We're still dealing with sinful attitudes. And you know, in our society, we always debate about what is really the problem in our society. We forget that the root of all the problems we have is not even guns or whatever. It's sin that comes. Sin is rebellion against God. When we rebel, you know, the consequences of our sins, they can be drastic. And look at Saul. He's not going to die, but he won't be the king of Israel. After Saul, King David came. God's word and his instructions are not suggestions which you and I can follow whichever way we choose. I say that again. God's word, his instructions are not suggestions that you and I can follow whichever way we choose. They're commands. And when you deviate from anything, just a little bit, you are in disobedience to him. Obedience is better than sacrifices, anything you can offer God. We must do exactly what he has prescribed in his word. You and I cannot blackmail God in worship. He knows the motivation of our hearts. He knew the intention of Saul. Great intention. Good idea to bring those things to do a worship service with that. But that, God did not want that worship service. God wanted your obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifices. Now, King David understood that. This is why David in the Bible is called a man after the heart of God. In Psalm 51, this is what David said, verse 16 through 17. You do not desire sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. David said, if you would take a sacrifice, I would just give you one right now. But I realize that's not going to be sufficient because really what you are after, God, is a contrite, there's a word there, repentant heart. Because when somebody repents like that, God will never cast you away. That's what the Lord is after. A repentance and contrite heart impresses God. You want to impress God? You do it from the heart. The heart of worship, we sing that song all the time. I bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you require. Because you go deeper into my heart to see the motivation that I have for doing what I do in this life. God examined your hearts. And Saul, your heart was not right because you were arrogant and you did not obey the voice of the Lord. That's what the prophet told you. And finally, he admitted it. He repented and confessed. He was forgiven, but the consequence of his fault was that he would not be the king of Israel. You and I, my friend, going back to what I said at the beginning, you and I cannot love God, worship God, or serve God in whichever way you want. You cannot serve God and worship God whichever way you please. You have to do it. You must do it according to what he has already determined, according to what he has already prescribed. To deviate from God's instruction is disobedience. And nothing you offer God will be accepted by him. Nothing we offer God while neglecting his instructions will be accepted. Obedience to God is better than sacrifice. Now, how do you know that what you're offering God today will be accepted by him? How would you know that your service to God, your worship to God, the offering you give God is accepted to him? How would you know if he does not contradict what he already is established in his word? Anything we give God with bad intentions, he's not going to take it. We'll still be in disobedience. He has already spoken and given us his instructions. This is really the manual so that we can check ourselves in the motives that we have. This is how we know that we're worshiping God the way that he expects us to worship, finding out. The Samaritans used to worship God, and Jesus had to correct that woman. He said, you worship what you don't even know. They were worshiping a God out there, but they were not doing it according to what God has already described. My friends, God has given us his instructions. How to worship Him, how to get close to Him, how to live our lives that will be pleasing to Him. It's all in here, and all we have to do is read it. Just like when you buy an appliance, you better read the instructions so you know exactly how that thing works. This is what we have here so that we know how we are to operate in this life. So we know exactly what He demands and expects of you and I. Because if we deviate from it, we might be in disobedience. And my friends, we don't want to be in disobedience against our great God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than anything that you and I can possibly offer our God. He's happy and pleased when we obey what He has already established. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, I pray that we make the commitment to go and operate by Your standard, by Your word. I know that at times we're tempted to go the different direction. We're tempted to GPS our way around Your word and to neglect Your instructions. Sometimes we don't even know what You have said because we are negligent. Father, forgive us and may we have the commitment to be like the first century Christians, that they were devoted to Your teaching so that they knew exactly how they were to worship You and to get to know You. Father, thank You for the example that we learn in 1 Samuel 15. And just like King Saul did not want to take responsibility for his action, Lord, may we worship You, may we serve You in a manner that is pleasing to You, because You are after our hearts. You know the motivation. You know everything that we do, You know the intentions that we have in our hearts, Lord. And we want to honor You and praise You, and may we give You true obedience in everything that we do and say. May we surrender all our agendas, all our presuppositions, and may just take on Yours, Father, because that's what a kingdom individual is all about. Thank You so much for Your word that teaches us, corrects us, rebukes us, and train us how to be the men and women You have called us to become. Thank You, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.